well-designed attempt, I might say, to address the important issue of rewarding performance rather than longevity, and particularly in an arena of intelligence collecting, connecting the dots is ever more important, and to be able to do that and reward and incentivize, you know, raising your hand to say, you know, I see it a little differently, is really important to the national security of the nation in the view of our Academy panel.
So the Defense Civilian Intelligence Personnel System covers, what, about 50,000 people, right?
That's correct. Over 9 different components in the Department of Defense and related.
And the National Academy of Public Administration was asked, as part of the Defense Authorization Bill for 2010, was asked to do an assessment. Is this working?
Yes, that's correct. And there were some concerns about perceptions. What is perception? What is reality? Is the newly designed system fair to all parties? And so they came to the National Academy to do a rigorous evaluation of both the design and the implementation of this new system.
And we'll have the full report linked up on the website, but.
Great.
And it's voluminous. I mean, I have it here in my hand, and it's what, almost has to be 150 pages, right?
That's right. Well written, 150 pages.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in there, and I was sorting through it all over the last couple nights. Essentially, you say this system actually worked pretty well. Is working pretty well.
We said that the design principles that on which one could rate the adequacy, the fairness, the equity, the potential performance of a system, those design principles are fundamentally sound. And we gave some recommendations about how we could make those sound principles even potentially better. But overall, it was the conclusion of the panel that the design is sound and the implementation is flawed. And the panel felt it's very important, particularly in this context, to get the implementation right on a soundly designed system. So we made a considerable number of recommendations about implementation with the potential of going forward.
So what did they do right that other pay-for-performance systems in the government haven't seemed to get right? What did they do right in the design of this process?
Well, you know, we didn't analyze other systems. What we took a very close look at was to look at the Merit System Protection Board principles, our own National Academy principles with respect to designing systems and Office of Personnel Management systems, and compared those benchmarks to the design of DSIPs. And so there are things like a key principle, for example, is the system transparent and easy for managers and employees to understand? Is the performance-based pay designed to support the organization's mission, and is it tailored to that environment? Is it a simplified classification process? A number of other, I think there are 10 or 11 different principles. And the vast majority of these principles, we felt they were fully aligned with DSIPs. So we felt very comfortable, and the panel did, in suggesting that it is really important for this mission-critical intelligence-gathering effort to move forward once those implementation flaws have been remedied.
And I just wanted to spend a second on the design, because we've seen every part of this process seems to be very difficult. And so if somebody gets something right, I want to give them a little bit of credit for that.
Right.
Let's look at the implementation. What did they not get right? And talk a little bit about some of the recommendations that you make.
Great. Well, there were part of the problem has seemed to be that, at least in the perception of the panel, it may have been somewhat a rush to implement because of the seriousness of becoming part of one, a single human resources performance system. I mean, there are several systems under which these 50,000 people operate, and you can imagine that adds to the complexity of trying to have an intelligence component that works as a community. And so there were policies that were not completely fleshed out. The communication strategy was not fully developed, and therefore it led to many misperceptions about what it was and what it wasn't, and there wasn't an adequate amount of training for supervisors, et cetera. So anytime you're doing anything new as it relates to how you reward employees, the stakes are so high and the rumor mills are so strong.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really interesting, Chris, that in a survey that the Defense Department did of employees throughout the department, there was really widespread agreement that linking pay to performance and linking performance to the agency missions are really the right things to do. And there was also strong support. I think 80 or 85% of the survey respondents had strong support for the concept. What they were concerned about was that supervisors were being asked to undertake, you know, significant new performance management activities and without the necessary training or skills.
And we often talk about focusing on results, and part of this seems tied to that. Focus, getting managers not to focus on how you spend your individual day, but are you getting the results that you want out of all this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And how are you encouraging collaboration, and how are you encouraging, as I said, raising your hand with a different view? If you believe that the way you are being evaluated and paid relates to the longevity or the tenure of your performance rather than actually your performance, it sets up kind of a skewed system that doesn't allow for this important collaborative and individual personal accountability.
And the big change in this, the general schedule system, of course, has the 15 grade levels. This system has five much broader pay bands. So you do move up through the pay bands, but they're much larger areas. And there's a lot of performance. If you perform well, you can move up within those bands much quickly, more quickly.
Yes, well put. That's true. And there's a stronger and more rigorous performance management system as well. So and that's what we felt was really need to be fleshed out in terms of how it was implemented and how it was communicated. So the panel recommended that there be a phased-in approach. As each component is really ready to move forward, that would be the path that the panel recommended we take, because it's important to move forward, and it's important to move forward with due diligence and speed, in fact, but you got to get the implementation right first.
Yeah, speed, but also speed, but not so fast that you miss pieces.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, even with all this research that you did, the overall conclusion is that there's not enough experience with the system yet to really make a broad conclusion.
But yes, that's true. I mean, evidence and causality in any kind of system that rates and evaluates employees is difficult to do. It's important to do. There has to be the time and the rigor to do it. And we have suggested an evaluation component is very important going forward, because it's always a work in progress when you're dealing with people and how well and how they perform.
But it seems like this pay for performance, at least idea, at least from reading your report, people are saying, hey, if we're going to be able to actually implement change within government, this is one of the fundamental tools that we need in order to get the job done.
That's true. to get the job done and to be able to recruit and retain the kind of people that that are the best and the brightest. And many of the younger generation, this concept of, you know, being rewarded for excellence in performance is within their DNA. And you know, the older GS system, which relates much more strongly to tenure, is not an attractive component to young people, if we found in the research that we saw.
And yet I continuously hear feds who are, and particularly in union members, who are very, very concerned about this idea of pay for performance and believe it ends up becoming a way to favor the people you like and get back at the way you don't, at the people you don't like.
Well, I'm not speaking on behalf of the panel here, because that is, of course, this whole workforce in the intelligence community is not unionized. As I understand it, there is a very legitimate concern for people who say, if you're going to have a pay for performance system, you must make sure that your supervisors are trained, are knowledgeable, so that you protect the things that are so inherently important in our system of equity and fairness is absolutely critical to any system that relates to how people are rewarded. And so I think there's been some concern about that, and we recognize that in the implementation plans that they need to double up on making sure that supervisors really understand the rules of the road, because from our perspective, the rules of the road that have been laid out for DSIPs are fundamentally sound.
If there's one aspect you hope people take away from this report, it would be what?
I guess I would have to say two. Is that this is an urgent matter as it relates to national security. We have to have a community that can connect the dots together to protect the public. And second, the whole idea of rewarding performance is an important one, and it can be done if it is done with rigor and implementation practices that are the best that we know.